People go into water wearing a floating belt. They float on their belly. They breathe through a snorkel. It starts on Earth and then start flying and getting up to the sky. And we have sound and we have the real voices of the Apollo 11 astronauts.
Proceed. Look at that shadow. Beautiful. 26, 36 feet per second up.
These are the sounds from a mind-blowing virtual reality experience called Spaced Out by Pierre Friquet. The film was a hit at the Sundance Film Festival in January, where it played in a swimming pool at one of the local hotels in Park City, Utah. You get into a swimming pool with a specially made waterproof headset, and in a way similar to how NASA used swimming pools to train astronauts for weightlessness, you float in space. Spaced Out was inspired by Georges Méliès' 1902 film, A Trip to the Moon, the first sci-fi movie ever made, and it's an homage to the Apollo moon landing and Kubrick's 2001 A Space Odyssey. Friquet is one of a number of pioneers of VR helping to develop 360 storytelling, and he's quick to explain that films like this using spatial technologies are about immersive experiences, not just sitting there looking straight ahead at a screen. There are things around you. A car chase scene with lots of editing works fine on a flat screen. Try showing that in a 360 experience, and chances are the viewer will throw up. Sound effects are great, but that one might be going a little too far. Motion and editing are different animals in VR. So here's the situation in a nutshell as of the summer of 2020. Spatial technologies work, but a lot still needs to be figured out. Significant improvements are right around the corner. We're witnessing the birth of a wholly new media, as different as live theater is from radio, is from cinema.
The temptation is that, oh, this is really whizzy, and let's just make sure that we use it somehow, and you just end up with, frankly, lame experiences.
Alice Benazio covers the spatial technology space as editor of Tech Trends, and she's also written for a variety of publications like Wired and Ars Technica.
You just need to step back and really think about what works in this new medium in its own right, rather than trying to just use it as an upgrade of an existing art form.
This is a key point. It's like saying, think up a new fruit flavor that's never existed before. Creators are working out a new medium to tell stories and convey ideas.
I like the way that the use cases work in enterprise, because there are elements in there that, even though you're using it for training, the way that you direct someone's gaze, the way that you engage them, the way you present information and guide them, it's something that will cross over into all sorts of different applications.
At this point, I've only identified a few more use cases over the past couple of years, and the current count is 18 use cases.
Michael Hoffman is the founding partner of Object Theory, a company that uses immersive technologies like mixed reality, virtual reality, and augmented reality to help clients in fields like design. The fact that he was not a media guy might be to his advantage. Before founding Object Theory, Hoffman was a principal engineer working on the Microsoft HoloLens. And prior to that job, he had been a software engineer doing platform and analytics. So instead of wondering how a video project could be done by adding, say, 360 capabilities to it, he looks at what people do, sees a use case, and wonders how spatial technologies could help. One of the first use cases Hoffman and his team identified was remote collaboration.
The idea here is that anytime you're working on a three-dimensional spatial problem, you almost always have a large team. Certainly for enterprise companies, you often have dispersed teams, and they need to have a conversation around something that's 3D in nature. A good example is that you have design engineers at a central office designing a large infrastructure project like a bridge, and then you've got the construction engineers on site taking those designs and attempting to actually build this thing. And there's often a lot of dialogue between the construction engineers and the design engineers trying to understand the full intent of the designers. And almost every one of those conversations is 3D in nature. And so you can imagine doing that all through screenshots and words and photo sharing it's really hard to convey intent in context and really have a conversation and walk away feeling like you really understood what the other person was talking about. And we saw that as an opportunity to build a solution around any kind of collaboration that had a problem space that happened to be 3D in nature. Not only is that lit up as one of the stronger use cases, it's also one of the ones that complements almost every other use case.
So here are some of those use cases: three-dimensional skills training, coaching, art creation in a 3D environment, task guidance, premium selling in a VR or AR setting, product simulation, learning using three-dimensional concepts.
If I had this in chemistry class, oh my God, I might have had a different career.
Robert Scoble is the co-author of the recent book Infinite Retina: Spatial Computing, Augmented Reality, and How a Collision of New Technologies Are Bringing About the Next Tech Revolution.
I just couldn't visualize chemistry very well because it's like, what's a molecule? Can't see it. Well, you can sort of see the expression of it in a liquid, you know, but I don't understand it. If I had this tool, I'd be able to see it. You mean if I added an oxygen molecule to this, it turns into something else? Oh, I get that.
One use case, not right around the corner, but actually here, is space planning. Imagine having to organize a space with objects you don't have yet. In the case of a company like Stryker, showing their gear to clients can be a challenge. They make medical equipment, the kind you find in an operating room. These are not inexpensive or small machines. Sending a client a brochure with a picture of the device is convenient, but it doesn't work very well. So companies like Stryker often would make models of rooms like a Barbie playhouse or rent a warehouse near their client and ship in the equipment to build a fake operating room to showcase the product, or hire a company to make a video of an operating room done with computer-aided design.
So what we've done is we've taken that to the next step and made it possible for the exact CAD that's been designed in that CAD system and make it possible for you to actually stand in this non-existent operating room that doesn't even exist yet and walk through the operating room to make sure you're not missing anything. And it allows the surgeon to not only experience it, but actually to actively participate in updating the design.
Object Theory has also rolled out a real service around employee training. Suppose you're running an airline and the manufacturer of the aircraft interiors has developed a new airline seat. For Jamco America, a company which makes things like aircraft galleys, lavatories, and passenger seats, the conventional thing to do would be to ship hundreds of seats to the airline so technicians at all their locations around the world could learn about them and how to repair them. With spatial technologies, that process has radically changed.
They're actually one of our current clients where we're building out training procedures to train a technician, or frankly anybody, how to take apart that seat and fix something in that short hour window when it's at the gate. And they have a very small window where they're not impacting the bottom line of that company by delaying a flight.
But Hoffman says pretty much what Alice Benazio said earlier, that VR and AR technologies are more than just fancier videos. A technician learning to repair the new seats sees the objects in realistic 3D. The HoloLens has reached a point where images are realistic enough that people have almost fallen because they thought they were leaning against a real object. If that's all spatial technologies offered, it would be a modest step forward. But things start to get mind-blowing when you consider that the software allows students and trainers in different physical locations to be in the same room, communicating in real time. And take it one step further. Imagine a technician needs to fix a seat on a plane at the gate in between flights and boards the plane, finds the seat, and using the headset has all the notes and reference materials from PDFs to video.
That's where something like Object Theory really does advance the medium generally, because they're feeding that evolution and giving people and companies a reason to back the technology without putting it under the pressure of we have to sell so many million units or this is a failure.
While companies like Object Theory have cracked the code on how to use spatial technologies in a way to offer real services to real clients, like design and training, in the world of entertainment, the goal of the makers of headsets like Oculus, Google, or Samsung is to sell mass quantities. And that's not quite there yet.
The screens aren't sharp enough to actually do real work. They're not sharp enough for me. And I'm a proponent of this. I have four of them. I can't use it to read text. I can't answer email in it. I can't live in it.
But you have to remember that when it comes to technology adoption, Robert lives on the sharpest parts of the cutting edge. So while he gives his honest opinion on where things are, he also says next year's release of 4K screens from Oculus will make them better as personal devices. So the question, what is it that will make VR and AR a household item? And he predicted Apple Glass.
I think when Apple comes in the market, they're going to explain it. Like, hey, we have eyeglasses. You don't want eyeglasses with just corrective lenses. Do you want to see at night? AR. Do you want to see notifications like laid on top of the world? AR. Do you want to have a little game with your kids where you're playing with your hands and you're moving a virtual thing around the table? AR. Do you want to watch football while you're walking around a shopping mall? AR. And they'll keep layering in some of these newer capabilities. Do you want to watch your health and have meditation, you know, a coach teaching you? AR.
The compute capability needed to bring these services to the user involve, obviously, video and audio technologies, but also the cloud, virtualization, sensors, i.e. the Internet of Things, and the production teams to create these environments.
It is very, very data intensive. It is something that, as we're getting more advanced sensors, you're going to have that constant need for real-time cloud connectivity to make those experiences work. And I think that that's where we're headed. And again, there's a lot of companies in that space that are specifically building an augmented map of the world and the augmented reality cloud. And I think that when we get to that point, then again, it's just going to enable a whole host of new experiences. And with advances in artificial intelligence, then that just brings it all together.
The AI is crazy that's coming out too. The ability for a camera to see a cup and know it's a cup is really pretty crazy coming along. And is the training time on that is coming way, way, way down. And now you don't even need to train it with pictures, you train it with video. So it's about to really get crazy. The whole space, autonomous cars are about to get really crazy. AR glasses are about to get crazy. VR is about to get crazy. You know, next year is going to be a VR year, I think. The true VR year, the VR year where most people are like, okay, I'm in.
Robert Scoble says there has been more enthusiasm for his latest book, which he co-authored with Irina Cronin, than any of his previous three. It's entitled Infinite Retina, Spatial Computing, Augmented Reality, and How a Collision of New Technologies are Bringing About the Next Tech Revolution. Alice Benazio is the editor of Tech Trends and a co-author of the online XR Collaboration Guide at xrcollaboration.com. If you'd like to check out all 18 of Michael Hoffman's real use cases for spatial technologies, you can find them at The AR Show, all one word, thearshow.com. This is the Tech Barometer Podcast. I'm Jason Lopez. You can read up on more tech stories or listen to other Tech Barometer podcasts at theforecastbynutanix.com.